It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
I was hoping you'd be a little later, Slee. I wanted to get our Steve Ballmer bathrooms dropped.
Toilets!
Toilets. I really like that one. I think that's something we got. We need to have, that's a Bach, toilets. We got to have this one.
Now, here's Alan Sleewood.
we need to start to round out our little playlist along the way. Don't forget, Pickleball Madness. We are getting closer. Just a little bit more than a week away. A week from Saturday, March 18th, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Agape Pickleball Center in Fountain Valley. That is at Mile Square Park. Reserve seating is available. ESPNLA.com is where you register for that. You don't have to. You can just show up and have a good time. There's all sorts of things to do. We're going to be playing a pickleball tournament. We're going to get clobbered by pickleball players, but maybe we'll get lucky and get a good draw. Thanks to Michelob Ultra, Bud Light Seltzer, and Pizza Hut. You can watch the college basketball games. We've got all sorts of TVs out there for you. Pop a Shot, pickleball, demos, lessons, Kid Zone, Beer Garden, complimentary food and drinks, DJ, giveaway, Slee. It's going to be quite a day. Week from Saturday, and you are getting better every single day. You're going to play again today.
Even having a little chat right now, making sure everybody's still on board. Just you like double
stretching.
You know what you've taken over? You're like the organizer. You're like the leader of this group.
And
that's how you know that you're into it, when you're the one making sure everybody has got the address, the time, the location, the attendance.
So all that will change the moment that Yates shows up and he's like, why aren't we stretching? I'm like, my bad, Yates. Sorry.
Stretching.
Put your arm over your
Suckers.
Head.
Luke is okay. His MRI came back clean. Doctors say that he can play whenever he can play, whenever the pain is tolerable, he can get back out there, but no structural damage to Luka Doncic, so he is good to go. We talked about KD earlier in the show.
Yeah, it's an interesting conversation, though.
Look, the Suns, to me, and you know, felt like the team to beat in the Western Conference with Kevin Durant. The Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, Chris Paul, DeAndre Ayton felt that's going to be a tough putt for everybody.
When that trade went down, it was, hey, maybe there's a clear cut in the West where there hasn't really been a clear cut.
And quite frankly, Al, we never really got to see a lot of it to where we go, uh-oh, they're just kicking everybody's butt. This is not even going to be close. We never really got to see, only played a handful of games. Twists his ankle yesterday, getting ready to play. Denver is the number one seed by a comfortable margin. They're very, very good. They're going to have the MVP on their team for the third year in a row, most likely. But I got to tell you, if LeBron can come back and be LeBron or something close to LeBron, if the rest of the Lakers stay where they are right now, specifically Anthony Davis, but everybody else, I don't know if they beat the Denver Nuggets, but I'm real excited to see what that series looks like.
Okay,
I'm very excited to give them an opportunity there where that wouldn't have been true a month ago.
Let's just say this, and I don't think I'm being a little dramatic or anything like this. Here's the reality of the Lakers right now. Without their best player, because I still call LeBron their best player because he shows up more often than not.
Fair.
And their third best player, which is D'Angelo Russell, who is not a superstar. He's not a star, but he's also not a role player. You could pretty much chalk him in for 18-6 a night, whether Bron's there or Bron's not there. Without their first best player and their third best player, the Lakers have won 7 of their last 10 games. Okay, so
they're the hottest team among that group of others. They're the hottest team by a mile.
I think actually what's kind of funny when you say that, the only teams that, at least in the Western Conference, that have won 7 of their last 10, it's
Sac,
the Nuggets, the Kings, and the Lakers. Those are kind of your, and I think the
Suns were 7-3 in their last 10.
Oh, okay, so. That's right. They won 4 in a row. So I set it up that way because, wait a minute, if Bron's not there and D'Angelo's not there, and the Lakers are beating teams that are also have something to play for, they also have something to fight for, then what makes you think that if Bron came back and D'Angelo came back with the role players that they have, everybody agrees the roster is better now than before the trade deadline, why wouldn't they be able to hang with some of these squads? Now, I think the outlier, the Phoenix Suns with Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, DeAndre, and Chris Paul, it's a really good team.
Yep.
But have the Nuggets done anything yet? This is always the hesitation with teams. The Boston Celtics, you feel if they got back to the finals, not a big deal because they've got to the finals before. The Milwaukee Bucks, they've won an NBA champ. So you all automatically give them the edge over Philly because Philly hasn't gone there. Has Denver been to the NBA finals? They haven't. Sacramento is the second best record in the Western Conference right now. The reason why there's hesitation there is these guys have never seen the postseason. They haven't seen
but two players on the Lakers roster have seen the finals. I mean, it's not the whole. It's a pretty new roster compared to that.
The two most important people on your team have carried you to an NBA Finals. I think that's probably, if it was, like we say the Harrison Barnes thing, the problem with Harrison Barnes was it was years ago and he was not the best player.
He never carried the water. AD and LeBron carried the water.
So the only reason why I set up that way, and I'm not saying the Lakers are going to go on the summer. We don't even know if LeBron's going to play another regular season game.
We don't even know if the Lakers are going to get in the playoffs.
Yes.
That's the other part of it. But what's happened, I think, and while I am as optimistic as I've been about this group in a very long time, that and what it kind of is, Slee, it's kind of melded your position and mine. They've kind of almost come together because – I don't mean to overstate your position, but you were like, look, let's just get in. That's a good season. And just let the chips fall where they may. Just get in so the first time in a long time you can have playoff basketball, right? And my position was always more like, it's the Lakers, man. Just getting in is not the goal. The goal is to get in and make some noise and have a shot. Well, both of those things are still kind of in play, right? That now getting in seems far more likely than not getting in. But also because of the Kevin Durant injury, we'll see what the diagnosis finally is. But if it's that grade two, it could be towards the end of the season before he comes back.
4 to 6 weeks, it could be if it's a grade two injury.
It could be and into the postseason potentially. Now, not only do I feel really good about them getting in, there's nobody out there that are the Warriors better? Maybe. Are the Clippers better? Maybe. Are the Nuggets better? Maybe. The Kings? Maybe. Maybe. But there's not a team out there, including a Kevin Durantless Phoenix team, that I don't think that the Lakers can match up reasonably well with. I'm not saying they're going to go to the finals.
Yeah.
But now it's gone from there is no shot they go to the finals to, hey, listen, man, crazier things have happened than LeBron James and AD going to the finals.
I think our expectations are also based off of, for me, when I'm saying, look, I just want to see them get in, can we have a playoff series, roll the dice, whatever happens, happens. I'm actually not, I'm not too far away from that. Still, as I sit here today, I think the way I feel is when they were below that number 10 line for basically the entire season, and I'm not exaggerating, I think they were below the entire season. It was now, okay, now they're at number 9. Now you try to see, can you be a little bit selfish here? Can you be a little bit greedy? Can they get one of those 7 or 8s? It's all going to come down to if Bron comes back and there's 3-4 games left, and the Lakers, you know, are going to be the number 9 seed, let's say. Hypothetically, they're going to be the number 9 seed. But Bron is coming back. Then basically what you're asking the Lakers to do is win 2 games in a row. One of them will be at Crypto. The second one might be at Crypto if Clippers are number 8. And you're basically asking the Lakers, go up against the Denver Nuggets. I think then those expectations would change. My issue is...
Al, what if they beat the Nuggets? What if they're the 8, Nuggets are the 1, and they beat them?
Mm-hmm.
Look out.
Okay, and by the way...
Out
shocked
at that point.
Shocked?
Surprised. Not shocked.
Not shocked.
Surprised.
Mm-hmm.
Surprised. Look, Denver's really good. I do think that we tend to kind of brush past them a little quicker than we should, but look, that's not the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah.
That's not a Kevin Durant-led Phoenix Suns team. It's a team that's really good that feels beatable.
So the other part of it, too, is because the Lakers play the Nuggets well. They just do.
They beat them twice this
year
already.
2-2 this year, yeah. And they've actually... AD and Joker have been good matchups. AD is an incredible defensive player, and he kind of bothers the Joker, so that's just something to keep in mind. But I have a difficult time even in my head going that far. When you just kind of moved into the play-in, and now you're just trying to hold on to the play-in, I think at this stage it's like, all right, one step at a time, see where they go.
But you know what it is, too? And this, believe me, this is unfamiliar territory with me being optimistic. The indicators, the trends are positive for the Lakers in a really long time. The trends are they're getting healthier in the idea that D'Angelo is coming back and that LeBron is coming back. Their supporting cast is better. Anthony Davis is playing better. Their defense has gone from dreadful to pretty darn good. They're not giving up 130 points a night anymore. The arrows are all pointed up. And look, I know we've spent, and I just said it a second ago, they could still miss completely. That's not even remotely off the table yet. I think they're going to be outside of the top I think they're going to be one of the top six teams. I think getting to six is a very realistic possibility. If they just continue to look like they've looked, I think they're going to get into that
past
spot.
Dallas and Clippers.
Yeah,
that's what you need to do.
It feels like that is not a huge ask. Mm-hmm. That Dallas is kind of all over the place. The Clippers are the ultimate all over the place. Their arrows are either flat or pointed down. Laker arrows are pointed up. Maybe it's just a good day. Maybe that there's good news in the Laker land because they're playing well. And KD, you know, unfortunately twisted his ankle. But right now, they feel like a better bet than they felt in a very long time.
Now, I feel like the negative guy. from Dave McMenamin here. Mo Bamba has a high left ankle sprain. He injured himself in that last game. He'll be reevaluated in approximately 4 weeks, actually 2 games ago, per the Lakers. So 4 weeks from today would be the rest of the regular season. Breaking news on 710 is brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change, home of the 15-minute drive-through oil change. Visit SoCalOilChange.com for locations and coupons today. We can't even enjoy it talking about non-injuries and then Mo Bamba injury. And I know what you're going to say, but I'm gonna say this.
Yeah.
They got him specifically just to be a backup big.
Sure.
That's your role, be a backup big. He had a few games where
he did
hit some threes, got some rebounds. Anthony Davis, go take a quick little breather. Thomas Bryant's not there anymore. That's unfortunate.
But the Lakers are not going to sink or swim based on Mo Bamba's health. Mm-hmm. They're going to sink or swim based on Anthony Davis's health. I liked him when we talked. I think you were on vacation when we talked to him. He came on with us when you were away, and he was really funny and engaging. I liked him a lot, and I would rather have him than not have him. But this does not dampen my enthusiasm for it because, look, if they got him, great, but the Lakers are not going to go where they need to go if he's there, and they're not going to not go if he's not. It's just he's a member of the team and a part of it, but he's not.
I hope he's not listening.
He's not integral to what they do.
I know what you're saying.
He's unfortunately, but get well soon, Mo. It is National Barbie Day, Emily.
Yes, it is.
Were you a Barbie kid growing up?
I loved Barbies. I also have, I love Bratz dolls too, which was the counterculture of the Barbies.
Taylor,
also,
they're a little more made up, shall we say?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I also really like, there's going to be a Barbie movie that's coming out this
damn right.
Animated or live action?
Live action from Greta Gerwig, who's my favorite director of all time. And I cannot be more pumped for that movie.
Was it Toy Story?
I don't think she's going to watch it.
It has Margot Robbie. It has Margot Robbie in it, and it has Ryan Gosling.
Say less. Say less.
She's Barbie.
Sold. Well, of course she is. Of course she is.
What he's saying is he doesn't want you to oversell it. It's like, hey, you're ready to sign here.
Margot Robbie. Done.
Stop the presentation.
I didn't sell you with Greta Gerwig?
Sales 101. Once they say yes, stop talking.
Shut up.
Stop talking. Hey, you know what? That sounds good. I'll sign up.
That was my whole career on that side. Alan, stop talking.
Here's a pen. Here's a contract. We'll get that over to you as quickly as we can. Thank you very much. And then run to your car. that's how you do that. We're going to do a little toy draft. Coming up next, it's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
All right, guys, so it is National Barbie Day. We got the Barbie Girl music in the background. So
is that what this is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a Barbie girl in a Barbie world. Life in plastic. It's fantastic.
Come on, Trav.
Everybody knows that.
How do you not know?
I
play this before every for our basketball games.
Got us pumped up. I'm out. Yes, you win.
Okay. So the order is going to be, it's snake draft. So the order is going to be.
It's a snake draft.
Yep. It's going to be Taylor, Alan, me, Travis, Travis again, me, Alan, Taylor. That's
so childhood toys.
Yep.
What toys were your signature toys back in the day?
Exactly.
Okay.
All right, so we're going to go first with the first pick in the draft. We got Taylor.
Okay, my favorite childhood toy. I didn't have a lot of these, but they are a great toy for dexterity in kids. They're a good toy for creativity. From Denmark, the Lego.
Oh, ooh,
terrific.
Yeah.
Take it off the board right away.
Terrific choice.
Maybe. I don't know if there's like an age thing here, because I think mine are a little bit older.
But you had Legos.
I had Legos as a kid.
No, I had Legos, but I'm saying, okay, let him finish, and then I'll explain what
that's
I'm talking
about.
Yeah, I'm
first
done.
Pick. Yeah,
that's
you got
it.
Al?
So, all I need to know.
If I have Super Nintendo as my first pick,
yeah,
does that count as, that counts, as long as it's not like 7 years old or anything like that, because I got Super Nintendo when Christmas hit for me,
yeah.
It was, Super Nintendo might have been the greatest gift I have ever received as a kid, and I wouldn't stop playing anything Mario
Nintendo
Brothers, any of that
awesome.
Stuff. Super Nintendo's
yeah,
what I got.
Nintendo. Those are two terrific choices. That, and by the way, I mean Nintendo. I guess is kind of generous because they didn't have Nintendo when I was 10.
Yeah,
but I was still young enough to when Nintendo came out to really want it. That's a great pick. Legos. I'm bummed that you took that, but. Emily.
All right, so this next one, I guess it this also might be more generational, and so I don't know, Trav, if you had one of these, but I feel like me and Taylor might have, and it might have Miss Lee too. So this is something that, this craze got so bad at my school, they had to take it away. Like, the teachers would not allow us to have these in class. So this is also something that we could have had in class, technically. So, yeah, not a we. So, this was Tamagotchis. So Tamagotchis, where you had the, you had little pets on the, on your chain, and it's like a little fake pet in these, like, balls, and you could get more and more of them. You could have Tamagotchis play with each other. And your Tamagotchi could die if you didn't like take care of it. All good. So it took it teach taught.
Do you know this toy, Al?
Responsibility.
I'm looking at it right now. It rings a little bit of a bell, but
what?
To be honest with you, no.
You guys don't know Tamagotchi.
Taylor, do you know it?
I know about it. I did not own one, but yeah, your toy would die.
Okay.
I had never heard that word until she said it 2 minutes ago. That's a new one for me.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's my first pick. It's kind of lame, I guess. All right, Trav.
So these are very specific to me, but I think that. If you are 30 or older, I think you will appreciate this. And I've talked about it on the show all the time. I loved it. I still have a passing interest in some of the older stuff, but I loved baseball cards more than anything else in the world.
Yep.
I liked sorting them. I liked collecting them. I liked trading them. We could put them in number order. We could put them by team. We could put them by player.
Jeez,
we could
this is not
I
easy.
I loved it so much, having those things. Open that pack. You see a little Dodger blue in the corner. It's not a Steve Garvey. It's a Rick Sutcliffe. Damn. And just, hey, is it going to be a Ron Say? It's Teddy Martinez. It was so exciting every single time. So I'm taking baseball cards, number one for me. My second pick on the flip around is something that I don't know if they still have it. They might. I know it was incredibly fun. I know if you brought it into this room right now, I would end up doing it for a very, very long time. Slot cars. Where you would snap those pieces of track together,
yeah.
And they had the little wire that would run through it. You'd put your car that had the magnet, and you'd pull the trigger on the little thing, and the car would race around the track. My brother and I spent hours racing slot cars against one another. It was a little temperamental, so
yeah.
If it was, you couldn't put it on the carpet, really, because the electricity wouldn't flow through it right. It was awesome. It worked about 9%
in the black mark, you could get them to go 40 miles an hour.
You could kind of rig it where you could put 9-volt batteries in some of it as opposed to doing some other things. Just wonderful. Going slot cars, number two.
All right, slot cars. All right, so it's up to me next. So this next one, again, it's much my generation. There are many variances of this game that are out there. And so I'm going to do, when I say it, it's going to be encompassing all the different forms and variations of it.
Wait.
She thought I said we. No, I said we. Duh.
I knew.
Oh, yeah.
You knew it.
I heard
she
we.
She thought we.
Because I also loved the.
Because they would not let us have this at school. Weed.
Different variations, different
obviously
styles.
Different strands. But this one is Bop It. So it's kind of it's similar to like the Simon Says thing, but it goes bop it, pull it, twist it, crank
bang
it,
bang it, tank, yeah,
yeah, all
I
that good
Simon
stuff.
I got Simon on mine. That's a good
bop
one.
It is
I love Bop It.
Super fun.
It's super fun.
It is
super infuriating, but yes. It helps like it lays off things in your brain. So I have Bop It.
Do you know who hates Bop It, Emily?
Who?
Every parent, because my kids had a Bop It, and it's fun to play it. It is the most. piercing, awful sounds to listen to someone pull it, ping it, bang it,
bop
it, jib it, bop it.
It's,
it's, and it just goes and it goes and it goes and it's loud and it goes boing, 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 whang.
Taylor, can
it
you find it?
All of these terrible sounds.
I now want to hear it.
Oh,
bop
my
it,
gosh.
Twist it. Pull
that,
it.
It does all it, nonstop.
Crank it.
Crank it was a good
yeah,
one.
That's all in there. All right. So, Alan, you're next.
Okay. With the number two pick in the draft. By the way, you know, when you first brought this up this morning, I'm like, all right, let me think. Now I have like 14 things on my list.
I did the same thing.
Yeah.
This one I think I just have to have on there. When I was a little kid, I had one of the indoor hoops that go on your door.
Nerf hoop.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I played that thing as if, like, I remember my parents
great
would
toy
walk in. And they'd be like, why are you sweating? I'm like, well, here's the thing. Right now,
Parker's up 2-1 in the NBA Finals.
It's 7-7, and we're going, I played the indoor hoop like no freaking tomorrow. And the Nerf ball was so great about it. It's not really going to break anything. So you were kind of good enough to where you didn't have to, you know, you didn't have to worry about anything in your room. The indoor hoop for me was
my brother and I had knockdown, drag out battles on Nerf hoop in his room. It was so much fun.
Did you hit him with the Eurostep?
Did you ever do this? So when you get to be like 10 years old and you can dunk and all that stuff, it's like it's a little play from your knees. It's so you get to take jumpers and you can like try to muscle your way
100%.
Closer to the basket. So much fun.
I forgot about that, but
so
100%.
Much fun. Oh yeah.
Even if I was standing up, I couldn't reach. I still couldn't touch the net.
All right, Taylor, you're the last of the second round.
Okay, next up for me is going to be, it's a summertime toy. It's perfect for those hot, humid days when you want to just play outside with your friends or prank your friends. It's a super soaker.
Oh,
great.
Good one. I thought you were going to say good. Slip and slide.
That's
which,
good, too.
Which
oh,
also
damn, that's
is
a
awesome.
Really good one, too.
Super soaker's good.
All right, Taylor, you also have the first of the third round. So you have your third pick ready? And your last pick.
Matt Bush.
My last pick.
Better than where the Padres took him.
This has gone in and out of style for, I don't know, probably 40, 50 years, I think. But it was back in style when I was a kid.
Calculator.
And a lot of kids had them. Yo-yo.
Yeah.
That's a good pick.
It's classic.
Go with the fireball yo-yo.
That's classic. A good pick.
You got to get the Dunkin' too, right? Like that was
those
the
are kind of, you can't do as many tricks with the Dunkin', but.
Yep.
Aren't they all kind of the same? Why can you not do tricks with
the
Dunkin'?
Know.
Now I'm curious.
Dunkin's kind of a piece of crap, honestly.
Yeah, it's just the brand.
Yeah.
The brand.
I learned, so that's my thing.
You need a Yomega is a good brand.
That and Tamagotchis.
Yeah.
Did I say that right?
Yes, Tamagotchi. Yeah, Taylor, you got a fire list already.
Yeah,
all right.
Great.
Al?
All right, I'm going to cross off all the ones that I didn't. So Nerf Blaster, that's a good one. That one's out. I wanted to put it on there, but I can't. Hulk Hogan, Ultimate Warrior, I had those dolls.
Oh, yeah, those
bro,
are fun.
I'd wrestle on my parents' bed for 7 hours.
Action figures, not dolls.
With your dolls, Lee?
No.
Action figures.
Are you
not listening,
with your dolls?
So action figure I'm just imagining is something that sits, you can't do anything. This guy I was taking just off the top rope and throwing him down.
Is that those old things that used to hit each other, like the bop-em, sock-em?
That's rock-em, sock-em robots.
Oh, that's what it was.
Also,
okay.
Also awesome.
But that is not making my list, my third, my final pick. Do you guys remember those, I think it's called Magic Mitt, and basically it's the Velcro. Do you know what I'm talking about? You put on that thing.
Oh, it's
thing.
Like a circle.
It's
and you
a mitt.
A tennis ball with
it's
it?
It's a mitt, exactly.
Yeah.
We used to play that thing like we were freaking. And all it was, it just the Velcro tennis ball, whatever it is, would stick to the mitt. Played that all day long. That's my third pick.
All right. So my third pick was also something that got banned in schools because people played it too much at my schools. And I don't know if you guys know this about me. You probably do. Is I have to have something in my hands a lot of times. I like click my pen a lot. I'm like very much stuff with my hands. So this was really helpful for me when I was in school.
And fidget spinner.
It's not a fidget spinner. It's a little too young for me. It is a tech deck. Do you guys know what a tech deck is?
I do. My kids had tech decks.
Yeah, it's the skateboard with your fingers and you can go and do stuff. I was honestly never really I've never into skateboarding, never into that, but like tech deck was super fun. Your friends could like learn different
You could put little stickers on them too and stuff.
Yeah, you can
like
customize it. Yeah, so tech deck is my third. All right, Travis, Mr. Irrelevant.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Oh, vividly. Yeah, I had that thing. So there's been a bunch. All of these are really, really good. I want to give some of the things that didn't make the list that if we went longer, I would want all these things.
Pogs, I didn't mention either.
A slip and slide was on my list. I thought that's where you were going. Wiffle ball. Wiffle ball, bat and ball, an amazing toy, right? Hours of time playing wiffle ball along the way. A big wheel. Who didn't want that giant plastic tricycle when you're 6 years old and it had that little brake on the side where you could spin around? The big wheel was
It's also
amazing.
Featured in The Shining.
Yeah,
the big
wheel
way.
In The Shining,
yeah.
For sure. I was a Star Wars kid, you know, growing up in the 70s. The little Star Wars action figures, which are worth a fortune right now if you still have them. I had all of them, played with them, loved them nonstop. So Star Wars figures were on there. This one, you have to be about 50 or so to know this thing. So this is going to be very niche. For my generation,
niche.
That word always gives me trouble. It is called the Evil Knievel Stunt Cycle. And what the Evil Knievel Stunt Cycle was, so I'm going to show it to you right here. This was a toy motorcycle that was about, I don't know, maybe 6 or 8 inches tall. This is it right here, right? And it came with an Evil Knievel action figure that you would place on the motorcycle. And you would place the motorcycle in this cradle. And on the side of the cradle was this crank that you would turn, and it would create energy, and then you would hit a button on the side of the thing, and Evil Knievel would take off at 100 miles an hour, and you'd jump them over your, you know, your house of cards or blocks or Lego villages or whatever. You'd create these
over the 110
things.
Freeway.
The rub with this toy was, because the crank, it's, you know, it's small, and it sits on the ground. When you would crank the thing, you would strip your knuckles on the street, because you would end up doing it outside. So as you could go, and every kid in third grade in 1976
had, their knuckles
had no skin on their knuckles, because they were cranking the Evil Knievel Stunt Cycle. It was awesome. I'm looking at it right now. You can find them online for about $60. I think
Damn.
It was like $9 back in the 70s.
Inflation.
Give me the Evil Knievel Stunt
Remember
Cycle.
Those?
Very specific. Oh, yeah, Rocket Nerf. Yeah, for sure.
How random. Yeah. Man, yeah. So random.
Evil Knievel Stunt Cycle for the final pick, Em.
Yeah, well, who won, guys? Who do you guys think has the best list on here?
And here's the other thing. I guarantee you there are people out there that have their own thoughts that we've
that
left
we
off.
Forgot.
Some big ones,
yeah.
For sure, so yeah. You can come on in and do that for sure. Carlo had a night last night.
Yeah,
Almost Famous Carlo. He'll explain next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's Olly.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Throwing in their toy suggestions, Al. A lot of people saying you missed this. Carlo came in and had a great Transformers.
Yeah.
Those, you know what? We left off, like, this goes back to the 60s. They still make them now. They're everywhere. Every little kid, male little kid, and lots of girls, too. Hot Wheels.
Mm-hmm.
Like, was there anybody that didn't have Hot Wheels in their life?
That's when you're most, like, there's certain toys when you could last through the 60s, the 70s, the 80s. You know what I'm saying? There's certain toys out there that... It doesn't matter what year they came out. We're just obviously trying to find stuff that we grew up with, but Transformers is a good one.
Barbie, honestly, like, is lasted all this time.
Yeah.
And she's evolved.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, like, as in, like, they add
Her
different
personality
kinds of Barbies.
Is different.
Like, they're, you know, not just like the beauty Barbie, but like, she has a job and she does all this stuff. She has a house. Like, you know, it's evolved.
I knew she had a house. She had the dream house.
Yes.
The Malibu Barbie dream house.
And she has the house with a single income, you know?
Well, she's a successful, you know, aspirational woman.
Yeah, she doesn't need a Ken, but she likes having a Ken.
Is Ken still around?
Yeah, Ken's still around.
All right, Ken's still around. What's up, Carla?
So one of those toys that we were talking about, Crossfire, Blackboard. So shout out to Jason Tang in the YouTube comments. He threw out Crossfire.
Know that one. What is it?
Crossfire was this blackboard with two red guns.
Does that look familiar at all or no?
I don't know.
It had a blue little marker in the middle, and you kept on shooting these little ball bearings to push it all the way
Sounds
through.
Sounds fun.
It was a whole lot of fun. I am shocked. Sleeva just
$100
up on Amazon. It's $102.
Well, you said your what's it called was
Evil Knievel Stunt Cycle. It's not a what you would call it. It's an Evil Knievel
Show
Stunt
Cycle. Show some respect,
cycle. Please.
Did you ever watch Toy Story? I think it was 4. Right?
He was in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Keanu Reeves.
It's awesome, and they crank him up, and he goes flying across the room. It's terrific.
That was an awesome toy.
You were a Transformer guy? That was at the top of your list?
Robots in disguise.
You should have spent more time shooting baskets, Carlo.
Oh, man.
Because you went to the South Bay Lakers last night?
I was invited by my wedding MC, who's now the game host
for
South Bay Lakers. Shout out to Ray. Ray on the mic. He'll be at ESPN LA Pickleball, too. So Ray is game host. He invited me out to the game. Came out. About to take a seat. I didn't even get to my seat yet. And I'm walking there with my wife, and he looks at me and says, just subtly, half-court shot, right? I'm like, wait, what? You're kidding. Half-court shot? I said, all right, fine, YOLO. Let's go ahead and take the half-court shot. So come third quarter, my palms are sweating.
I was going to say, so now – you're not watching the game where you're just kicking back and relaxing. You're thinking about this first quarter, thinking about the second quarter. You're just nervous as it's leading up to it.
So the first game in the first quarter, the first piece of entertainment, they had this guy put on some basically beer goggles to take a free throw, and he had to make one shot.
How many tries?
He had 30 seconds.
Okay. I think they do the same at,
at the Lakers game. So he went to take the free throw with beer goggles. I felt less nervous because he basically had no chance. He couldn't see the free throw. Yeah. He couldn't see the free throw line, couldn't see the basket. So I thought, okay.
How many people were at the game?
I would say about 150.
Okay.
By the way, South Bay Lakers game, if you have not gone to a game yet, it's an awesome experience.
It's awesome, and you're at the Lakers training facility. Exactly. So it's like the you get a chance to be at the Lakers training facility, which is where they got all the trophies, Genie's office, Palenka's. That part's really cool.
You look up, it's the Lakers championship banners. You see the retired numbers. They just added Powell's retired number.
Oh, that's great.
So I felt, it was our first chance to get to see it. So then comes the third quarter. I'm getting nervous. Oh, by the way, Alan, you mentioned, like, I'm not even watching the game. We ordered food before the game.
I couldn't eat the food.
And it was cold by the time it was the third quarter.
You know what my next question is?
Wings and fries.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, some crispy wings, too. They bring a food truck experience over there. So every game, it's nice and unique. So I get called over about 5 minutes before I actually have to do it. I'm over at the corner. I start doing some push-ups.
Sure.
Start warming up. I'm getting nervous. I'm just excited. Adrenaline.
For people that don't know, Carlo's in very, very good shape. Like, Carlo takes good care of himself. So that you are warming up is not a huge surprise.
Everything we do on social media, here's the leader of the crew here. So he's let's just say he's in good shape.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that because yesterday morning I skipped my workout. And I think that's the biggest...
It's the
factor.
Gods, Carlo. I'm telling you.
Chad, this
exist.
Is what we ask. Are you a basketball player or are you an athlete? We needed more long... go ahead. Keep telling it.
Definitely the basketball gods had their hand in the shot because I step in the free throw line. Again, I'm just not even thinking. The adrenaline's kicking in. I step at the at the half court line. I decided to have some fun. I actually first have my back face towards the basket. I'm actually not sure which basket I'm shooting
that you're
at.
Shooting on.
So I start... faking like I'm about to take a over-the-head, no-look basket. And they're like, no. I'm like, all right, okay, let's do the real thing. So I don't hesitate. I get the ball. I'm running up to the line. I let the ball loose. And I'm thinking, oh, my God.
In the left your hand, you thought you had a shot.
It felt so good. And it looks in line. And I think it's the basketball gods who picked up the ball just a little bit more. Where the trajectory was so high, came about... 3 feet short.
Okay, online but short.
Straight online.
Usually, by the way, if you're going to make it, you got to go too much arc. When most people have that laser, you got no shot of going.
Here's the thing. Long, it's obviously short. It could hit the front of the rim. It's going to miss everything.
Yeah.
Long, it could hit the back of the rim and go in. It could bank in. It could go right in. Long is better. So you miss the half quarter. Now what?
So you get a second shot. You got a second shot at the three-point line. I think a lot of Laker fans have seen this at Laker games. So I'm thinking, all right, I'll just shake it out a little bit, take my three-pointer, get the ball, spin the ball, nice shot. I have a pretty good stroke. It came off the fingers. I'm thinking, all right, here we go. It's going in. Halfway through the bucket and pops
out
off the back
in and out.
The heel of the rim.
Did you, have you posted it yet?
Not yet.
You got to post it, because when you showed it to me, when you took the 3-point shot, it left your hand. I'm like, oh no, that's going in. Like, you know, you can just kind of tell when it's going in. It's halfway down the cylinder. It's not like rattling. It's in, and then it comes out as a heartbreaker.
I was ready to ask Game Ops if I do I get half a prize because it was halfway through.
So what is the prize? If the because the Lakers it increases for every miss.
It's an MGM MGM sponsorship, and I think,
or is it 1,000?
No. The people that won so far, 75,000. It's something like that. The number, I think it starts off as 25 grand, and it goes up five grand. Every.
What was the prize? Had you knocked that down?
So when Ray first mentioned to me that I was doing the half court shot, I was thinking, oh, of course I'm going to win the $20,000 that the Lakers give. Oh, it's actually a $200 gift card to the team store.
Hey, you got a nice jersey.
I thought I could have got at least $100 for getting it halfway in there.
Yeah, it's half the distance. You should get half because you should get $125.
Exactly.
Makes sense to me.
Carlos negotiating with the Game Ops people. Like, what are you doing? You're just supposed to take the shot.
Why not?
But one thing I would add, though, was I was so confident I was going to make it that I was thinking about how I was going to celebrate already.
That's the basketball.
No chance. Yeah. The gods. If you're the only thing is, well, this will be fun. Go out there. You know, I'm just going to make sure I get it there.
Yeah.
The gods may be, you know, I'm going to give them a shot. But the second you're like, I wonder what jersey I'll get. You're thinking, not a chance.
The gods were saying, go eat your wings. No,
yeah. Did
go
you
get your
the wings
and
when
fries.
You went back to your seat.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. They were cold.
Otherwise, I might have to drive down to El Segundo and pick them up. Figure that they're still sitting somewhere in the stadium. Like, I'm not going to let them just sit there and go uneaten.
I don't think you heard any part of the story other than, so what, the wings and the fries, what's the situation there?
Sit there. I got to say, I got a one track mind. Thanks, Carlo.
Thank you, guys.
That's so good. ESPN, we are taking over Yamava Resort and Casino's latest amenity. That, of course, is the 909 Sports Bar for a tournament tip-off watch party. We'll be broadcasting live all day long starting at 10 to 7 on Thursday, March 16th. That's a week from today. Come press the flesh with all of us. And by all of us, I mean me and Al, Mason in Ireland, Sedano and Cap. We're all going to be out there all day long. Wall-to-wall LEDs, 150-plus screens, 32 craft beers. It is the perfect place to watch all of your college basketball action. Plus, we're going to be giving away prizes. Carlo, you're ineligible. Autographed memorabilia. You need to be 21. Please gamble responsibly.
Would you want to take that shot?
I've done it at UCSB.
Okay.
I done it. And not even close. Way offline. Long enough, but way offline.
Yeah, you need. It's funny because for all those, I always hear Michael and John like try to predict, right? They're just like, what do you think? Going in or not? And every one of them, we have the worst angle because we're not behind the basket.
Yeah.
So it could look good. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's going to go. It's 17 feet to the left. That'd be fun. That'd be fun to take a half court shot.
Some classic toys that have gotten mentioned on my Twitter feed at Travis Rogers, Alan Sliwa. ViewMaster, which was that little disc that you put in and flip through and see all the pictures. Like, Disney one, there'd be a Star Wars one, there'd be a National Parks one or whatever you got there. That was a
popular. Yeah, for like 1 minute, and I'm like going back to
flip,
Super
flip,
Nintendo.
Flip, done. Got another one? Nope, done with the ViewMaster. Into the toy box, never comes out again, but everybody knows it. G.I. Joe's, classic.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's...
Everybody had a G.I. Joe.
Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Yeah. Little after my time, but I certainly remember them being popular. Slinky, right?
Who did I saw that. Yeah, I saw that.
Simple toy, but a beautiful toy.
Slinky was you could put on the stairs, right?
Yeah, and it would walk itself down. You know what is lame about a Slinky now? I'm sure they went back the other way. They started making them out of plastic, which sucked because it would break. And the second you got a little kink in your metal Slinky, just a little bend, really doesn't work very well anymore.
Yeah, the reason why they went plastic, Wall Street, where it was in the stock exchange.
The Slinky on the two hands is my favorite part, where you see like it go back and forth between your two hands. That was my favorite part.
It's like the fidget spinner before the fidget spinner.
Yeah, you just need to have something to do with your hands.
It makes a very soothing sound.
Pretty funny.
Very, very good. The Dump coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. So Jordan Rodrigue, who covers the Rams for The Athletic, had a couple of tweets along the way that the Matthew Stafford stuff got a little traction along the way. Here's a quote from Les Snead. We're going to definitely rely on Matthew. He's definitely one of our pillars. He went on to say he's definitely someone we're going to rely on as we remodel this. He says that they're remodeling because they aren't, quote, bulldozing the house.
Definitely.
So there's a little bit of direction that you and I were talking about earlier. Trying to get, are they bulldozing the house? Or are they just putting a new coat of paint on this? There's a huge difference between those two things.
Do you have to go through the city?
Exactly.
You need permits.
But this, he's saying he's a load-bearing wall, that he's a weight-bearing wall, whatever it is. What I'm not hearing is there is no how, no way that he's not on this team next year. That's the part I'm not hearing. We're not bulldozing it, but we're remodeling. Like, remodeling can mean a lot of different things.
Yeah, I don't know if it's so easy to just make assumptions, but I'm just going to – does he have to come out right out the gate and do that? Because, first off, it's on Pat McAfee's show. Everybody listens to that. It's a source that's very credible, right? The guaranteed money is a reality of the situation with Stafford. It didn't take very long to come out with something. You know, and I don't know if that was, and I don't know. I don't know if today was just planned, hey, you're going to get in front of the media. But that didn't take very long to quickly, make sure let's have something to try to fight what that is against. I don't know if that means something. I don't know if it doesn't. But he was very quick to respond there.
Sean McVay, by NFL head coaching standards, is pretty honest. Like, if you listen to what he says, you can kind of intuit what it is that they're going to do. I think Les Snead falls into that category as well. But this, I think, is one of those times where I'm just going to wait to see what happens as opposed to what anybody's saying. Because I do you go active in the free agent market, which starts in a couple of days here? Are you super aggressive in the draft to move up, or are you willing to move back and take additional later picks for the second round pick? I think the Rams pick like 37th or 8th, something like that, along the way. I'm going to wait to see what they do. You can tell me whatever you want. I'm going to wait to see.
Well, and I don't think they're set on anything either. Right? Like, I think if, let's just say hypothetically, Trav, that a team really wanted Matt Stafford and they could take that $50 million guaranteed whatever, hypothetically, right? Off the books. Mm-hmm. And they didn't expect that was going to happen. I don't think anything's set. Like, I think they are still trying to, depends what other teams do. It depends if there's interest in a player that they didn't know. It depends if, wow, we could get all this for Jalen Ramsey. Well, Ramsey wasn't our top guy to get out of here, but now let's move on.
This, of course, all comes on the heels of Michael Lombardi, like you said, being on Pat McAfee, saying this about the Rams.
Oh, Matt Stafford's fully available. For Matt Stafford, they would love to trade. They can't do it because he's got $57 million guaranteed.
Hold on, though.
There's a lot of play.
Do we know he's playing? Do we know he's playing? We're 100% sure he's playing?
Well, he says he is playing, but but Pat, his contract, he's got 20, I think 26 million of an option bonus on the third day of the league year, and he's got 31 million in paragraph 5 on the third day of the league year. All of that is guaranteed.
So Michael Lombardi's making the financial argument, but I thought that McAfee asked the question that I think is the single most important question. Are we sure he's playing?
Is he healthy?
Are we sure he's playing? Mm-hmm. And he says he's playing. Okay, but I'm going to wait and see what happens next. Emily, believe it or not, I saw this. People are apparently peeling their onions on TikTok instead of chopping them. Susan showed it to me last night. Ugh. Like, and you're talking about where they use like a vegetable peeler, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Why does that bother you so much?
I guess maybe it's the video specifically. It looks so bad in the onions are not going to, it does it all unevenly. It's just really bad. To me, it looks bad.
So they take the paper off the onion, you know, the part that's, yep, and get down to the whatever, fruit, vegetable. I don't know what an onion is. Root. I think an onion is a root. So, and you get down to that. And instead of like chopping it, they just take the vegetable peel and it makes these perfectly thin slices.
No, depending, not perfect.
Depending on what you're doing, like on a sandwich, that would be the perfect way to do it. If you're making like a sauce or something with onions, probably not the way to do it, but I was into it, Al. That you have strong opinions on this does not surprise
me. I think
I'm
still confused. I'm confused what I was waiting for her to say something like it, you know, it looks really weird, or how can you do it that
way? It does look weird.
I mean,
and I also, honestly, personally, I hurt myself more peeling than I do chopping, because I think it's probably just the way I hold the onion or whatever I'm peeling. Actually don't peel onions, but like it'll get to like, I'll tear up my knuckles because I think I'm just holding it weird. Maybe it's like a bad form in the way that I peel. So this is why it upsets me.
Study your onion slicing form. Jim Boeheim retired after 47 years as the head coach of the Syracuse basketball team. He started there as a walk-on player in 1962, basically been there ever since. I don't know if there's a better indicator.
Wow.
of how college basketball and our relationship with it has changed more than Jim Boeheim retired, and it was barely a ripple, right? Coach K retired last year, and it was a big deal. Like, it was on TV, and obviously—
Final game, North Carolina
Duke. Goes
to
the final, all mm-hmm. of these things. So it was present, and he's coached. Jim Boeheim been there 50 years, basically, and he was the biggest name in that sport for a hot minute. And it's like, oh, yeah, cool.
You're
and
right about it.
Keep it
no,
moving.
You're right. I mean, I saw it yesterday on kind of like the top stories for ESPN. I looked at it for 1.4 seconds, and then I was like, cool, what time does Toronto and the Clippers play? But maybe that's just me, but I think
not.
There's...
It's not.
I don't think it holds the weight, and a lot of that has to do with...
Jim Boeheim retires for college basketball in 1999 or 2004. Mm-hmm. It's a totally different story.
My
it's
only
a totally different story.
Only Syracuse story I have, I told you when San Diego State played on the... on the ship, on the... Why am I forgetting the name
the
of
Midway.
The Midway. Jesus.
What else
you're
want
a San Diegan. Okay. Played on the Midway. It was against Syracuse.
Details matter to me.
played against Syracuse on the Midway, where every jumper they took, Boeheim was like, yeah, we're going to stop taking jumpers. San Diego State's like, we're going to keep shooting threes. Guys, there's 40 mile per hour gusts coming. Follow what Boeheim's doing.
That's great. A couple of big movies came out on this day. House Party, the original, came out in 1990. They did a remake kind of with the party set in LeBron James's house, right?
Recently.
Did you see that?
I didn't see it.
It's
did
on
either,
HBO
you
Max
guys
right
see
now.
The new House Party that was...
I never saw the first House Party.
Really?
I know it's Kid and Play.
Yeah,
and
it's really funny.
Yeah, I saw it at USC's theaters.
Did you see the new one?
I have not seen the new one.
Once upon a time owned by one Steve Mason, those USC theaters.
Yeah, I know.
Good business.
University Village 3. And then he ruined them or something. I don't know what happened.
Also, classic horror movie came out on this day in 1984. Children of the Corn came out.
They just remade that.
Eyes, right? The glowing eyes.
They just remade that one.
You a horror movie guy, Andy?
Not really. It's never been my genre.
John, if you go musicals and horror.
Yeah, I know. I like all the original Halloweens. I thought Get Out was one of the most underrated movies of all time.
Get Out is, I mean, I don't know if it's underrated, but it definitely is fantastic.
I don't think most people have seen it.
It was
really
a big hit.
Nominated for an Oscar.
It was nominated for Best Picture.
Yeah.
Oh, was it? I just thought it was brilliant.
Yeah, it's great.
It's fantastic.
I don't think it's under the radar, though.
Scariest movie ever for you, Trav, is what?
Honestly, it's going to be a weird answer, but it still kind of gives me the willies. The Wizard of Oz.
You know what? You're not alone.
Yeah. The Wizard
What's
of Oz.
What's scary about it?
The witch. Was when I saw it, I don't know, 5 or 6 years old, that messed me up. That green witch really, and those flying blue.
Well, mine's a little off the beaten path, too.
The flying blue monkeys in the Wizard of Oz, where they tear the scarecrow to pieces, that really messed me up.
I saw recently this clip of Mr. Rogers. He had the woman who played the Wicked Witch come on.
I'm melting!
Like, basically, like, get into the, it was either get into the costume or get out of the costume, so little kids could understand. She's an actress playing a witch because so many kids got upset by it.
What about you?
Mine is Jaws.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was at a certain age, I was a beach kid, and the next day, me and all my friends went and swam out to the buoy so we wouldn't be scared of the ocean.
Wow.
So my Uncle Keith took me to Jaws, he's about 8 or 9 years older than I was. I was like 7.
Yeah.
And it terrified me. I don't think I've been in the ocean since. I've got no interest. Those things are real. They're out there, and they like to eat. What about you, Sleep?
Poltergeist was
scary.
Awful. Stephen King's It.
Yeah,
I don't think that one was also a very scary one. Both
Andy?
Of those.
You know, it's funny. I don't tend to get scared by movies, even ones that like I'll feel the tension, but I don't really get scared. The only time I remember actually getting like legitimately terrified at a movie, I was like 7 or 8, and I got taken to see the original Star Trek, the motion picture, when it came out when I was like 7 or 8.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be like Star Wars. Not the same thing. I got totally bored in it, fell asleep, and I woke up, and there's this character,
Klingons.
this woman who has this shaved head, like a bald shaved head, for some reason freaked the living crap out of me. I started screaming and crying, and my parents had to take me out of the theater.
All right.
So Star Trek, the motion picture.
Have you played the
Super
Stager yet?
Not yet. Would you like to play it?
Yeah, then? Go ahead and play it, and then I have a question about this car chase that's on Channel 7
Let's
right now.
Let's do a little Super Crosstalk. Woo! So I was wondering, you and I are sitting next to each other if you're just listening on the radio, and you keep looking over my head. I'm like, what is he looking at?
Oh, look, they're taking him out. They're taking him out now. Okay.
Now you got to go. All right. Yeah, now you got to get back.
Okay, so, he's stuck. He can't get out. Oh, they gave him a hole. He cut through there like Barry Sanders.
That's bad defense.
Oh, now he took out another cop car. Now he's jumping the road. Yeah. Okay, so I thought he violated the number one tenet of a car chase. He stopped at a red light, which you can't do.
Very respectful for that stoplight.
So the cops surrounded him with like eight police cars. He just rammed three of them and took off.
Hey, rope-a-doped him.
Yeah, and now he's going back the other way.
That when he did the U-turn, why did they not have that sealed off? That seemed like very bad planning.
You know what's coming now? I'm somewhat of a car chase expert, as you guys know.
Spike strip?
Yeah, they need the spike strip. Like, because I worked at KCAL, KCAL does news. I was there for 25 years. They do news, like, more news than anybody in town. Like, they do news in the morning, midday, afternoon, evening, early evening, you know, whatever. So, the unofficial rule at KCAL was ratings gold is a car chase. So it could be like the Lakers could win the title, and if there's a car chase, they're like, John, you're standby, you're on hold. We have a live car. Now he's stopping. This guy stopped again at a light. And by the way, he has tree stumps in the back
of his pickup. Ford F-150, whatever he's got there.
What so what is he running for? Did he steal the truck? I always wonder this. And now he stopped at a red light, which is terrible strategy.
Well, he's not an animal, John. He doesn't want to affect his driving record.
I mean, that's points on your record.
He's being chased by literally five police SUVs, and he's going the speed limit.
But they can't cite him for running a red.
Yeah, if you don't run a red, you don't have to go to traffic school.
He's rammed three of the cars. I mean,
his speed is not outrageous either. No, he's in the 25. 20s and low 30s. Yeah. He's doing a good job.
He was, by the way, Barry Sanders to get away and do what he did.
Right, am I missing something that says LASD pursuit?
Sheriff's Department.
Is the Sheriff's Department different than the police department?
Yes.
In what sense?
It's the county, not the city.
All right, they're taking him out again. Wow. 360 spin.
Well,
now
we'll see.
Let's see. Oh, now he's going. Again. Oh, he's jumping again.
He's
got
to be done.
He got him. He's going over the divider, and he's still alive.
And he's cutting back on. Oh, he's going. Oh, against
wow. Oh no! Wow. Now he's just. This is.
He's literally driving down the.
This is a
of
fantastic
median.
Car chase. I just want to say now.
That's a good move.
I probably shouldn't encourage it because it's very dangerous.
What's the end game?
But this is it. No one has ever outrun a radio. So, I've watched 100 car chases.
Or a helicopter for that matter.
Yeah,
right?
This guy will get caught.
Can I give you my theory on how I would try? If I ever felt like I needed, and Andy, you and I have had this conversation.
Don't say that you'll go on foot because that's the end. If you ever leave the car and go on foot,
the
they always catch
you. The foot involves the dog, right? And I'm trying to keep the dog out of it if at all possible.
Right.
You need
unless
to
you
get,
have treats.
Well, by the way, once again, stopped at a stop
he's
sign.
He's got a balloon.
Very respectful.
It looks like he has a balloon in the front seat.
Well, Andy might be going to Disneyland. You never know.
You need to get to like a mall structure parking lot.
Oh, that's good.
To where you get into the mall, you leave, and you race into the mall.
Have you ever seen the movie Drive?
Yes.
The movie Drive opens with a scene like that where Ryan Gosling's character takes these guys who had just done a break-in. And they're, you know, they've got a police scanner, so they're following all the chatter, and they eventually end up getting into what was the Staples Center parking lot for a Clipper game. Zooms in, gets out of the car, and immediately walks out.
He was that desperate to not go to a Clipper game.
Well, it ended. It actually ended.
There was no traffic.
Think of right. The structure where the parking lot walks right into the mall. Pull in, run in. You're facing the crowd at that point. There's a pretty good chance they don't know what this dude looks
like. Oh, Trav, there's
like.
A dog. They got the dog involved.
The dog is terrifying.
The dog is involved. And now the guy saw the dog. He said, I ain't having this. And he stepped on the gas.
You gotta go.
No.
That's why you always got to have just a bag of treats for dogs and see if you can negotiate with that canine.
Well, you know where you learn that? Fletch. Remember Fletch goes to take pictures of the license and he brings a couple of steaks for the dogs? Yeah, it's great. So earlier in the show, you guys were talking. I don't know why this came up. You can tell me. Why did Billy Ashley come up on the show?
We were talking about draft bus. Okay. We were talking about guys where you had like the hope of, hey, we're going to get this guy and he's going to change things for us. And Billy Ashley is the first guy that kind of popped into
my mind.
So
here's I have a good Billy Ashley story.
Just to play off of that.
Yeah.
Comparing the Dodgers and the Padres lineup, right? And when it came to individual players, you said it could be this guy or he could be
Billy Ashley. They were talking about Outman, and I said he could turn out to be a Rookie of the Year. Or he could turn into.
Well, there
Billy
were
Ashley.
Two. There was an equal to Billy Ashley. Remember who it was?
Same era.
Same disappointment. Same
Dodger?
Unbelievable minor league credentials.
Dodger,
maybe even bigger than Billy Ashley.
Dodger,
yes. You'll, when I say the name, you'll go, I can't believe I forgot about that guy.
Darren Dreyfurt.
Greg Brock.
Oh, sure. He replaced
the
Steve
first
Garvey.
Baseman.
Yeah, yeah.
Who was going to replace
Number
Garvey.
Nine,
yeah.
Replace Garvey. And
they just, Brock was the guy. And my guy, Eric Karros, just stepped right into the void and won Rookie of the Year.
My guy, one of my buddies, Greg Fisher, still to this day hates Greg Brock because he's the reason that Garvey went to the Padres.
Okay, so here's my Billy Ashley story. I'm at spring training, and I know Karros a little bit. He's a Manhattan Beach guy. And you know, back from when I covered him, I always got along with him. So I'm standing behind the cage, and it's Lasorda throwing batting practice to Todd Hollinsworth, Eric Karros, and Billy Ashley. And they're rotating in. 10 swings. And Lasorda is trying to throw him breaking balls because Ashley can't hit breaking balls. That was his demise.
Or anything else.
Like Pedro Serrano.
And Ashley, Lasorda's throwing these curveballs, and Ashley is just flailing. And Lasorda says to him, Jesus, Billy, I'm not out here for my health. Hit the damn ball. And Ashley says, I'm trying, Skip. And Karros looks at me, and he goes, oh, God. I go, what? He goes, watch this. And like Karros knew exactly what was coming. Lasorda goes, trying. I can get anybody to try. I can get that guy up in the stands. I can get Ireland to try. He'll try. He'll strike out. But and Ashley like puts his head down like, oh God, what have I done? Try. I can get the golf cart guy to try. I can get that woman over there to try. I can get that 5-year-old to try. And Karros looks at me and goes, we're going to be here a while. And that was code for you never say you're just trying.
No.
And so after Lasorda airs out his rant, Ashley gets back in there and he just goes, sit down, Billy, you don't have it today. And so like 2 weeks later, I go back, same scenario, different guys hitting.
No.
But Lasorda's out on the mound and some guy in the stands at Vero, and you know, at Vero it's very casual. There's maybe 20 people around. And some guy in the stands is out there sitting there with his family. Older guy, that guy in his 50s, kind of heavy set guy. And Lasorda is bouncing curveballs in front of these guys. He's not getting the ball over the plate. He can't. And the guy yells from the stands, hey, Tommy, why don't you give him something they can hit? And Tommy looks up, makes eye contact with the guy, and he goes, you want to give it a shot? He goes, pitch? He goes, no, hit. You want to get up there, try and hit a couple?
Awesome.
And the guy goes, really? Tommy goes, yeah, grab a bat, grab a helmet. And his wife's there. She gets the camera out. He's got his kids there, and he comes down. He gets in the cage and sort of winds back and drills him right in the wallet. Hits him right in the butt. And he goes, now sit the F down and shut up.
I knew that ended with Tommy throwing at somebody. I didn't know where he was going to hit him. But he was gonna throw.
Oh,
at somebody.
You think he's trapped, Slee?
Is the dog still
don't
there?
Get out.
There's he may be trapped. There's nowhere for
there's
him to
nowhere
drive.
To go.
Like it actually, it's
is that a fence?
It's both a fence,
it's a bridge.
But it's a bridge or something.
Are we sure those are tree stumps?
If he drives through that, there's at least a 10-foot drop.
What don't reservoir. They look like tree stumps?
Yeah, that's the word I was thinking of, Alan. It's a reservoir.
But oh yeah, he's
yeah. He may be. This may be the end.
The dog is the end. The second the dog is involved.
Well, he's staying in the car. There's a little dog.
There's a little dog.
Not that dog.
That's a stray.
There's a little dog.
Sleep. Why can't he turn left and follow the dog?
Maybe that dog is going
to
help him.
The dog
him
is trying to help him out.
The cameraman in the helicopter is now
what?
Following
him. Oh, that's why.
That's why.
Wow. Yeah.
There's two cops pointing guns at him right by the dog.
Now, that dog's just looking for a treat.
He can't go right.
He's not going to run because they'll shoot him or the dog will get him.
Yeah, if he goes left, they might shoot him.
Can't you just put your hands out the window and just say, I'm done?
No, he has maybe 10 guys pointing guns at him right now.
He's doing the math in his head of, do I want to end this right here or go to jail?
John, you still have one of the best ideas that I'm surprised that you have not kind of...
I don't have the money.
I'm surprised you still work here. Let's put it that way.
So here's my idea. I've pitched it 3-4 times a year ever since I've worked here. And when Mason got money, I honestly, off the air, begged him, because Mason's got a lot of disposable income right now. I said, you need to sponsor the CCC, the Car Chase Channel. Here's my idea. You turn on now think about all the dumb channels. Like I have DirecTV. There's like 1,000 channels. Like it's an Animal Planet, and you know, there's like right wing wacko channel and left wing wacko channel, and you know, they've got a Scientology channel. They got everything. I mean, this would work. So one of those channels, CCC is our thing. Instead of NBC, we're CCC. It's nothing but car chases 24/7. If there is a car chase going on anywhere in the world, we go live to it. If there's not, we run old car chases.
Top 10 car chases.
Yeah.
You like, can do...
Like, if you watch the Lakers...
Be like those Spectrum specials that yep. I pop up
exactly.
on.
Exactly.
An officer would be on there talking about that car chase.
They brought the dog out. Had he gone yeah. left instead yes. of right...
Like, this one, this car chase, because it's getting really good, now they've got him surrounded. They got like 15 cops pointing guns at him. This one we could run... several times a day. Like, we could run this 1, 3, 5, 7, 9. But I don't think people would stop watching. Every bit of rating info I have is people do not turn off a car chase. Mm-hmm. So...
Do you have data on old car chases?
You have not seen every car chase that's ever happened.
Fair.
By the way, there's no expiration date for any of them.
And by the way, all the anchors that would be tossing to it would be alumnuses of Baywatch. Men and women. They'll just basically be the best looking people in the history of the world throwing to car chases at the car chase.
So if channel. This doesn't end in the next 2 minutes, is this the opening of Mason and Ireland for today?
Either that or I can turn off. Slee's San Diego State Aztecs are in a hard fought battle. Boy, Slee, lots of offense in this game. They're already
nobody scores. San Diego State
in the second half, yeah. and it's 29-27.
56 points total in the second half.
All right, so
cool sport.
Now this guy is just sitting in the cab, and he's going to make them make the first move, which I think is smart, because if he gets out of that car, it's over.
He's negotiating.
Yeah, well, he's not.
What if just like a DoorDash guy pulls up? Hey, did you order? I'm here for your order.
How great would that be? You order a pizza? Right, he's leaning out the window, and he's talking to him, but he won't get out of the car.
But they'll wait there all day. They've got more patience than he does.
Yeah, so this is...
No, he's done. Where can you go from here?
Yeah, well, no one has ever outraced a radio. I mean, that's the funny thing. Guys that think they can win a car chase...
Get to the parking lot.
You know what?
You.
I don't think they think they can win. It's just a matter of staving off the loss. You just don't. You don't feel like losing at that moment.
You won.
All right. The windows
you win.
Well, you. Yeah. I mean, I know you've told this story before, but
I managed to get let off, but I certainly didn't win.
Did you go to jail?
No.
Sounds like a winner to me.
It's a win.
Oh right? No.
What did he throw out the window? He just threw something out the window. Did he have a weapon? And so they told him
maybe.
To throw it out the window.
I don't know. It's hard to know what he threw out.
Maybe a phone.
He threw out. It looks. Yeah. It's hard to say. All right. Oh, now we get the helicopter. All right. No, this is.
We had the helicopter the whole time.
No. But that was a police helicopter. Just flew by. So they got this guy. The Channel 7 helicopter is way up in the sky, but the police helicopter is like right down on top of them.
John's idea would work.
What do you mean? What are you rolling your eyes at?
I don't know.
How did the car chase channel not work? Have you seen the crap that's put on TV these days?
There's Live Golf. Nobody watches that. There's all sorts of stuff that people don't watch.
You would watch Ian Poulter in a car chase. Let's combine Live Golf and the car chase.
We're getting warmer. Now you have my attention.
I've already combined the best of car chases.
Yeah, you're a bigger
now
Baywatch
I'm
fan
Live
than
Golf.
I am. Car chases are good for like at this point. I'm out.
All right, you say I'm a bigger Baywatch fan than you. Do you have a Samsung TV in your house?
You've talked to me about this.
You do not.
I do, and I do have the channel.
Okay, so yeah. I'm telling you, when you turn it on, tell me how long you hang in before you turn it off.
If I need that, there are other better places to get that.
Well, no. See, in my house, the TV's always on, like, in the background. So normally it's on ESPN. But on days when ESPN's showing, like, log rolling contests, I'll flip on the Baywatch channel. And if I had a car chase channel, I would watch that instead.
Do you want to anchor or just CEO this thing?
Oh, CEO. I have no business. Are you kidding? Have you seen me? I can't wear one of those red bathing suits.
Well, you're the president of the company, the CEO. You can wear whatever you want.
I'm not Jerry Jones. I'm not going to put myself into the middle of all this. Come on.
All right, little breaking news for the Lakers. According to Dave McMenamin, Darvin Ham says the team expects to have D'Angelo Russell back tomorrow and starting, that Dennis Schroeder will be coming off the bench. You guys can get into that as well as the car chase. Super Crosstalk is powered by In-N-Out Burger. That's what a hamburger is all about. We'll see you tomorrow.